session number 18821, Reel 3.
Reg Holber, Reel 3.
The reason we didn't have contact with them is because we were away from the towns. We were out in the countryside, up in the mountains, and patrolling, as I said, the DMZ.
And did the soldiers like it being in Korea or not, do you think?
Well, it wasn't enjoyable. There's many a better place to go than Korea in the middle of the winter. But by that time, we'd been in long enough to, what shall I say, get on with it and make our own enjoyment. And I suppose we look back on it, we were enjoying it, but it's not something you do by choice.
What impression did the North Koreans make on you?
Again, we didn't see many of them. Only the odd one or two that were taken prisoner because they were deserting. I can't ever remember taking any prisoners because they were trying to infiltrate us. It was usually deserters found in the demilitarized zone. But they all seemed very poor. From what you did see of any of the Koreans at that time, seemed very, very poor.
Was the country still in a devastated state, or was there rebuilding going on?
Again, not being in the towns, I really can't remember to comment on that, because I certainly didn't see any devastation like I did in England during the war. There wasn't anything like that. But I think a lot of it was a lot of the fighting. I may be wrong, but I think a lot of the fighting in the Korean War was in country area, not in towns or built up areas. I may be wrong on that, but that's the impression I get now looking back.
Was there ever any exchange of shell fire with the...
No, not at the time, no, because we were, as I say, the war was actually over and we were only occupational forces.
How long did you stay in Korea for?
That was a peculiar thing. I myself was only there about 3 months, and the reason for that was the whole battalion was pulled out because soon after the battalion got there, they decided to reduce the Commonwealth forces in Korea, and consequently our regiment, although it hadn't been there long, it was still one of the oldest regiments there. So they then pulled us out of there, and so I was only there for about 3 months. So the battalion would have been there for about 8 months. We were 4.5 months in Japan, about 8 months.
So it sounds as though you left Korea about March 15.
That's right.
55.
That's right, because we were going to and then we were drafted to Kenya, and so we had 3 weeks. I believe it was Empire Tanira that took the whole battalion from Busan to Mombasa, which was about a 3 weeks trip. During that time, us signallers had to do a Morse code course while we were on the boat because of the high altitude that we're going to experience in Kenya wouldn't be acceptable for radio signals. So and also the density of the forest, we were going to have to use Morse code. So we learnt Morse code during that 3 weeks.
Was the voyage comfortable or uncomfortable?
Oh, it's usually troop ship style, quite warm under deck, and a lot of the time we slept on open deck.
What happened once you got to Mombasa?
When we got to Mombasa, we were transferred to Naivasha, Yeah, Lake Naivasha, but we had to have a 3 weeks acclimatization period because of the high altitude. And at that time, when I knew I was going there, I thought if any of my asthma was going to come back, it would certainly come back in the high altitude, because one or two people did have chest troubles. But again, mine didn't, and I think I lost my asthma as a result of becoming peak fitness. I honestly believe that. And I had no trouble in Kenya at all. But although the base was in HQ, the base of the battalion was Naivasha, most of the companies were split out around the country in companies. And each company had a certain area to patrol.
And where were, so you were with HQ company in Naivasha?
No, I wasn't. I was a signaller attached to D company. That's right, because parts of HQ, although the base was in Naivasha, the specialists were split up around the rifle companies.
And where was D Company based?
D Company, as it happened, was based at Naivasha with HQ Company.
So your duty was to take a set out with a patrol?
Patrol, yeah. We did from Naivasha. And we would go out, and the idea was to... the Mau Mau were very active at the time. And the idea was to single them out by patrolling, and one of the things we used to do, and I remember a detachment of us went out under cover of darkness. We weren't allowed to smoke, we weren't allowed to cook or anything, and we camped out in the forest, and for 2 or 3 days we only cooked a minimum in late evening. The rest of it was compo rations, and the idea was these Mau Mau were very, could smell, hear anything. And we camped there, and then from these camps we would patrol out. Few people would go out at a time. And on one occasion we were within, we were within 200 yards of a Mau Mau camp, and they didn't know we were there, which we disturbed eventually. And I think on that occasion we captured two or three Mau Mau.
What are your own memories of that?
Sorry?
What are your own memories?
All I know is they got captured and they were taken back to the base camp for interrogation. That was an actual patrol camp, you know.
Did you see them?
Yeah, I saw them, yeah.
What did they look like?
Black Africans. But they're, no, they... you know, they poorly dressed, obviously.
Were they in uniforms?
No. They didn't have a uniform. They used to wear Maasai clothes. There was a big Maasai tribe. They sort of wore sheep's blankets, you know. And they were armed with machetes and mainly, you know.
No firearms?
No, machetes mainly, and they used to do awful damage to the farmers, and they used to go in and chop them up and chop their children up, and really brutal. Fortunately, I didn't see too much of that, but I certainly knew it was around and heard about it. You know.
How were these two? How many captives were there? How many captives were taken from the Mau Mau? On this occasion,
three, because they used to operate in small groups, terrorising the local farmers.
So, were the whole lot captured? Or
no,
or
three.
Were others who escaped?
Oh, they escaped, yeah. But we... And we used to have to patrol villages and turn people out of their huts to search, because some of the villages harboured them. Maybe, I suppose, some were sympathisers and others were under duress to do so, you know, to harbour them. And we used to have to... I didn't like that much. That wasn't... That's one part I didn't like, turning people out of their homes. And although it was only a mud hut, it was their home. Well, that wasn't my idea of... Well, it had to be done, I know, but it wasn't very pleasant.
Were they shouting or anything like that?
Well, not really, no. Obviously one or two got stroppy, but no, it wasn't shouting. No, it wasn't... It wasn't a surprise raid. It was an organised search. If you organised in so much as we didn't tell them days in advance, but the approach was organised. Can I put it to you like that? Because I, thinking about it, I hadn't thought about it, but if we sort of surprise raided them, they might have done more damage to the people that were hiding them than by us approaching more gently, if you know what I mean. And they always hoped they would hide and get away, you know.
Was anything found in the huts?
Oh, from time to time you would find an odd, they'd find an odd blood hiding. Yes, definitely, yeah, from time to time, you know. But then you never really knew whether he was a... Us soldiers never really knew whether he was a Mau Mau or not, because he was taken back for interrogation and you probably wouldn't hear any more about it, you know.
Were you accompanied by Kenya police?
Some of the time. But always we were, when we were tracking, we were accompanied by what they call trackers, which were sort of, again, a lot of them come from the Maasai tribe, and they were absolutely brilliant. They could look at the ground and see a footprints that we couldn't see, and they would know whether people had been on these tracks.
How much danger did you feel yourself to be in when you went out on patrol or village searches?
While you were in a group, not too much, because they weren't returning fire. But if you ever got isolated, I suppose you could feel very much in danger. Because they were brutal people. Another job we had to do was, from time to time, we used to... Each farm would probably have two or three soldiers stationed on it. And that used to be our sort of leave or relaxation. Although we were there to guard the farm, it was more of a relaxed job for a week or a fortnight, whatever the case may be. We would go to different farms, and there would always be two or three soldiers stationed there. The farmer would give you a room. Some of the farmer, also, if the farmer was going away for any reason, he would ask for, or a farmer and his wife, in a way, would ask for protection for the farm, so they would put more soldiers there to protect it. But as I said, we had firearms. Very few of them did have firearms. They had knives and spears and things. So you always felt you had the advantage, providing you weren't surprised by it.
Well, did the Mau Mau ever launch an attack on you on any occasion?
Not on me personally, no, but they did launch attacks on farms where we were, or where we had been near in their facilities. But I was never involved in an attack from a Mau Mau, because they were sly, you see. They didn't attack the soldiers very much. It was the farmers they were targeting. And some of the atrocities they done were absolutely brutal.
Did you come into the aftermath of any of the atrocities?
Only by hearsay. One particular farm, you know, I remember I was told, I didn't see it, but I was told they'd chopped the legs off of the child and left the child to die. And, you know, they were joking and they would cut people about, cut the farmer to business, but there were things, I never actually saw any of this, fortunately, didn't particularly want to. But it was going on all the time we were there. Some of the, well, you probably want to know, some of the farmers, they were all expats, of course. Some were Dutch, some were English. And you got a mixed reception from them. Some of them were absolutely marvellous and treated the British soldier really well. But others treated the British soldiers as if they were their servants, because they were that type of, I'm afraid, sorry to say it, that type of British person. What's the word I'm looking for? Old colonials, would that be the word? Probably that type of person looked down upon a British soldier as being no more than the actual servants they got themselves. You see, and they all had servants, so they used to treat the soldiers as, but others, they used to treat soldiers as servants. But others were absolutely first class, and they couldn't do enough for you.
How were you treated personally?
Personally, I didn't have most, all of them I came in contact with treated us very well. Some better than others, but in the main, all very, very well. And I must admit, if we on a couple of occasions when we were guarding the farm and they'd gone away, the servants and the cooks cooked for us and in the same way, you know. So in some ways, you had quite a nice lifestyle.
Do you remember the names of any farms or farmers that you personally guarded?
No, I can't. No, I used to. I really can't now, because this was 40 years ago. Yeah.
And what was it like carrying the set about?
Well, pretty heavy, but if you're a signaller, it's something you've got to do, you know. It's just one of those things. I would say everybody on a patrol had something to carry, if it wasn't apart from a rifle. If it wasn't a spade, a pick, always something, you know.
And did you fall sick at all whilst you were in?
No, fortunately I didn't. No, we had to take our anti-malaria tablets, of course, and salt tablets, because of the high altitude and the heat, we used to sweat an awful lot. So we used to take salt tablets.
And that incident where the three Mau Mau were captured, was that the only contact that your group had with the enemy?
No. We would often go out on patrols and find their camps, you know, where they'd been, although we didn't actually necessarily see the Mau Maus. We'd get to a place where they'd only been recently, because the fire would still be smouldering, you know. And obviously intelligence, by us reporting, they tracked them down, or they were able to track them down. But one of the biggest exercises I remember we went on, I can't remember the exercise, whatever it was, in one of the forests. I really can't remember what the name of the forest was, but it was up by Mount Kenya. And the idea was that we surrounded a complete area. I can't tell you how many miles, but the whole area was surrounded by patrols, and we camped out. That was the idea. And then the RAF bombed the centre of the forest, enabled them to... the idea was that they would run out and then we would capture the Mau Mau. Again, I don't think we saw many, but I think from some sides of the forest, quite a number were captured. as a result of the bombing.
What type of thing would you find in the camps, if anything?
I don't know, really. I can't really. I don't know. Bits of food, clothing. Obviously, never any. No, I really can't remember clothing. Just general stuff that people had been there.
No documents?
No documents. No. Well, not that I know of, you know. They weren't very well organised, I don't think, in that sense of the word.
What was this forest like? Was it dense or what?
Dense, yeah. Pine forest, I think. Yeah.
Was it difficult to make your way through?
Oh, yeah, it would be. Yeah, there were paths, obviously, tracks. But obviously it was easier. The reason they obviously thought necessary to bomb the centre to make them run out, which they did do.
But would you have to hack your way through the forest?
No. It wasn't jungle as such. It was a forest, but. You couldn't get vehicles through or anything like that.
And was it steep or flat?
It was on the side of a hill or mountain.
And how long would you have to march for each day on a patrol?
Very difficult to say. I don't know, it just depends what you were going, where you were going from. It wasn't an enforced march or anything like that. It was something that, you know, you had to patrol an area, so from A to B, so you patrolled it, you know. I can't say we were under sufferance as a result of it, or anything like that, you know.
What rank of person would take the patrol out?
Corporal. Excuse me, corporal, sergeant maybe, but an officer would always be in charge of several patrols, a lieutenant usually.
And how many men in each patrol?
Each patrol, I think if I remember rightly, 10 to a dozen, including the radio operator. But then again, if you were camping out, you would have a cook as well.
Would you take all your food with you, or would you...?
Yes, we did. We did. When we went on those forest patrols, we took our food with us, yes.
Would you ever have airdrops of food?
No, I think they did do. They did have airdrops of food on occasions, yes. Yeah, they did, yeah.
Did you ever get airdrops?
No. No, I didn't. The thing I got involved with more than anything else was when we went from Naivasha, every day two or three trucks would go to Eastleigh Airport, which is in Nairobi, and pick up the supplies for the battalion. They always had to have armed guards on them, two armed guards on them, which we used to do on a fairly regular basis.
And would it rain, or would the weather always be hot?
Well, you've got your wet seasons and wet periods. I can't remember now when they were, but it was warm all the time I was there. So I was there from about March till end of August. There was some heavy rain during that period, but most of the time it was really quite warm.
Would it be cold at night?
Could be if you were in the mountains.
Did you ever go very high up?
Yeah, I can't remember how far up, but we went up a fair way up Mount Kenya on several occasions. The whole altitude, of course, is in Naivasha itself, you're already 10,000 feet above sea level anyhow to start with.
How did your equipment work, your wireless equipment?
Great difficulty most of the time. We did use Morse code to some extent, but the atmospherics were terrible, because every night at certain times we had to do what they called a SITREP, situation report, which we would get over from HQ, I presume, and it always had to come over at night, and very often it was very difficult to get it over because of the interference. But it would probably, I'm not sure where it come from, it would probably come from brigade, the brigade headquarters, for the commanding officer's information.
So it was difficult to transmit?
Well, difficult to receive, because we were receiving it from brigade. So he had to keep asking to say again, say again. So it was very difficult. Morse would have been probably easier, but somehow I don't think we used Morse. We've been trained for Morse, but somehow we didn't use it as much as you would have thought we would have done. It's like everything else, if you're using Morse, you've got to use it on a fairly regular basis to get reasonable at it. You know, because obviously it's something, it's a bit like typing, isn't it? You know, you've got to do it on a fairly regular basis to be able to do it well.
But you were transmitting as well as receiving?
Voice transmission, yeah. Well, you were from time to time if you had messages to send, yes. So.
Did you also carry a weapon personally?
Oh, yeah, rifle, 303.
So you were carrying both a rifle and a set?
Oh, yeah. But by the time we got to Kenya, I'm pretty sure we were issued with FM rifles, automatic rifles. Well, yes, we were, because we had to go through re-drill training. Yes, in Kenya we were issued with FM rifles.
Did you ever have to open fire in Kenya?
No, we did not in combat, no. I didn't, myself.
Apart from the white farmers, what was the attitude of the African population towards you?
Most of them, from what I know, they accepted us. They were very poor, you see, they accepted us, and they were quite friendly, most of them, from what I remember. I think in the main they were very friendly. Obviously, they didn't like us turning them out of their homes anymore than we liked doing it. But the kids were great, you know, they always are in any country, aren't they? Yeah.
How did the troops like being in Kenya after Korea?
Well, the weather was much more acceptable, much pleasant, but of course the job you were doing wasn't as good. But the weather, I think in the main it was a much better posting from the point of view of being comfortable because of the weather, much better posting. But the job you were doing wasn't as good.